We've had the privilege of studying the Lord's Prayer, or more properly, the model prayer that He gives in Matthew 6 to His disciples. That's been our class discussion for the past several weeks. Today we're going to look at one particular phrase and what that implies for us as disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says this, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're focusing on the third of those three petitions that Jesus prays. The first petition, of course, hallowed be your name. The second, your kingdom come. And now this one, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here Jesus affirms that God's will is done in heaven by those who dwell there. Well, who dwells in heaven? Well, we know who dwells in heaven. That's the angels. The angels do God's will in heaven and see that it is done in heaven. But what are angels? And I bring this to your attention because angels have certainly been in the media a lot. We've had a number of movies about angels, and as might be expected from Hollywood, none of them are accurate, not even close. But Hollywood's not too concerned about accuracy. They're a lot more concerned about what will sell more movie tickets. But what does the Bible say about angels? When we make this prayer, when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to know what it means about God's will in heaven being done. And since it's being done by angels, what are angels? And the only place to go for an accurate source is, of course, God's Word. So what does God's Word say about angels? First of all, they're created beings. They've not been around as long as God. They were created by Jehovah. In Colossians chapter 1, when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he tells them this in the first chapter, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, tells us a great deal about angels. He says, "For by Him, the invisible God," verse 15, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth." Notice, all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. So angels are created beings. They were created by God. We're told in the Bible that they don't marry. They're not physical in that sense. They are not involved in getting married. But they are spirit beings. And the Bible says that they are greater than man, but less than God. Back in Psalms verse 8, or chapter 8, the psalmist tells us this in verse 4. Psalms 8, beginning in verse 4. He refers to angels and what they are. Psalms 8, beginning in verse 4, he says this, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Less than God, but greater than man. They have powers that men do not have. And of course, we'll see that in a moment when we see the work that they have done throughout time. They have abilities, they have powers that us mortals do not have. The Bible says we are not to worship angels. Even though various religious groups and face worship angels, the Bible is very, very specific and explicit in saying that angels are not to be worshipped. The very last book in the Bible, the very last chapter of the very last book, Revelation chapter 22, we see these words in verses 8 and 9. Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God." Here we have a specific instance of an angel telling John, do not worship me. Don't worship angels. We're just, as he says, fellow servants. What should you worship? The angel says, worship God. Don't worship angels. So we should never have pictures of angels that we worship or idols of angels that we worship. Because angels are not to be worshipped. Angels, even though they have powers, they do not know all things. The Bible clearly tells us that angels are unaware of certain information. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us one of the things that angels do not know. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36... In this context, he's talking about the coming of Christ, the second coming, the end of the world. He says in verse 36, Jesus says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." The angels have no idea when the end of the world's coming. The angels have no idea when the Son of Man is going to come. We'll see in a moment that angels are going to come with him, but they don't know when that's going to be. They don't have apparently any more idea than we do. They don't know the day. They do not know the hour. Only God. The power that they do have comes from God. It is limited, but it comes from Jehovah. In Psalms 103, the psalmist tells us this about angels. Beginning in verse 20 of the 103rd Psalm. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 20 and following. Says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure." It says they excel in strength, but that's given to them by God. They hear his word, they do his word, they heed his word. And again, they're the ones in heaven that do the will of God. And there are so many angels, the Bible says, that you can't even count them. In so many places, the Bible talks about how countless are the number of angels. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that there's an innumerable company of angels. There are so many that you can't count them. You can't number them. So there are a huge number of angels in the world. Only two of them that we know of are given names. That's Michael and Gabriel. That's it. The only two that we know of that have names. Now, people have given angels names through time, but that's people, not God. God's source, the Word of God, or the Word of God, the source that we use, only names two. So one thing we shouldn't be doing is giving angels names other than Michael and Gabriel. So those are the host of heaven. Those are the ones doing the will of God. As we saw there in Psalm, those are the ones who heeds God's voice, those who do God's will. They have a heavenly ministry and they have an earthly ministry, the Bible tells us. And this is only part of what the Bible reveals about angels. The Bible says angels witness through creation. In other words, there were angels there at your creation. Saw God create the world. In Job verse 38, we're told this about the creation of the world. Job 38, beginning in verse 4. Job 38, verse 4. Went a little too far. This is God answering Job. So this is God telling Job. Beginning in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He's asking Job, Job, were you there when I created the world? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? So he's asking Job, do you know any of these things, Job? Were you there? Did you see me create the world? Did you measure how big it was? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Sons of God, a reference to angels. The angels shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the world. They witnessed their creation. The Bible says over and over and over again that one of the things they do is praise Jehovah. They show their adoration of Jehovah. In Psalm 148, which is a praise psalm, in Psalm 148, verse 2, it says, praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Angels praise God continually, over and over. It's not just in the Old Testament. In the book of Revelation, we see more than once where angels praise God. In Revelation chapter 5, notice this scene in heaven. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 11. John says this, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. See, he's seeing what's happening in heaven. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. See, there we see great numbers of angels in heaven doing what? Praising and worshiping God. The Bible says that angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Luke 15, verse 7. Every time a sinner repents, angels rejoice in heaven. I think that's a marvelous verse. They rejoice in heaven every time a sinner repents. It says they always see the face of the Father in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 10. So they always behold His face in heaven. Bible even says they tend to the golden censer in Revelation chapter 8, a few pages over from where we were. Notice beginning in verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Isn't that a marvelous vision, a marvelous picture, again, of angels' work in heaven, heavenly ministry? They've done all kinds of things since the beginning of time. But it's the earthly ministry now that I want to go to. Angels have been God's messengers. That's the primary definition of what the word angel means. It means a messenger. And angels have done that again from the beginning. And there are so many places the Bible talks about angels doing something in the world. Sometimes it just says an angel. Sometimes it says angels. Occasionally it'll talk about the angel of the Lord, which sometimes is referring to Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. Not always, but a lot of times it is. So angels, so much that they've done on earth. I mentioned in class the example of Abraham and Isaac. An angel was there. Abraham was getting ready to bring his knife down on his son. What does the Bible say? An angel stayed his hand. An angel kept him from sacrificing his son. That's in Genesis 22. God used angels to guide the Israelites through the desert. In Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23, in verse 20, notice what it says here. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Verse 23, for my angel will go before you and bring you into all of this land. My angel guided the Israelites. What does the Bible say about Daniel and the lion's den? Who kept Daniel from being killed? It was an angel. In Daniel chapter 6, the Bible refers to this episode. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, this is Daniel telling the king how he didn't get killed by the lions. It says in verse 22 of the 6th chapter, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. God sent an angel down into the den, the lion's den, kept the lions from harming Daniel. Who fed Elijah in the wilderness? You know, Elijah had his encounter with prophets of Baal, and he was in the wilderness, and who came and fed him? An angel. An angel came and fed Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. There was also an angel in the New Testament that told Joseph to flee to Egypt. Matthew chapter 21. Notice verse 13. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, he says this. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. There was a little tail on a word above mine. Looked like a one. Matthew 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There's an occasion where an angel of the Lord is not talking about Jesus, but talking about an angel from God. Warns him, go to Egypt. One of the things that angels did for Christ was strengthen him on more than one occasion. In Matthew chapter 4, just a little bit over from where you were, verse 11, after he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Angels came to Christ and helped him, ministered to him. You know, he had been fasting and all of the suffering that he had went through. Angels came and ministered to him. Angels came to him in Gethsemane toward the end of his life in Luke chapter 22. We see this in verse 43. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. After he had prayed to God, it says that an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Strengthening him. Bible also says, back a few pages in Luke 16, another job that the angels do. In the account of the rich man and Lazarus, we see in Luke 16, verse 22, what happened to the beggar. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So there's another work of angels, another part of their ministry. They carry the righteous to Abraham's bosom, just like they did the beggar. The Bible says they minister to Christians. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. He's just been talking about angels in verse 13. In verse 14 it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Now notice it doesn't say they minister to non-Christians. It just says they minister to Christians. Those who will inherit salvation. So they minister to Christians. The Bible doesn't give us much information about how that's done, but it does say they minister to Christians. That's part of their earthly ministry. And again, that's part of them doing the will of God in heaven. They carry out His will. And part of His will is ministering to Christians. These things we've mentioned, those are part of His will. That's how they carry out His will in heaven. The last thing is, the Bible says they're going to accompany Christ on the last day. Back a few pages to 2 Thessalonians. We come to chapter 1. Verse 7 says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." They will accompany Christ on the last day. And one of the things they're going to do is to administer justice. It says they're coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Taking vengeance. When Jesus is giving a lesson in Matthew chapter 25, He tells them this about angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 3. And of course, that's verse 31. Again, I didn't notice the tail coming down on my letter. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory." The last day, when He comes to judge, who's coming with Him? The angels. Angels are coming with Him. Bible says that they're even going to have a more specific job. In one of the kingdom parables that He gives us in Matthew 13, Jesus says this in verses 41 and 42. "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." It says His angels are going to gather out of His kingdom. There's another job the angels are going to have. We see here that the angels praise God, adore God, obey God. And so when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are praying that obedience and adoration and praise on earth will be like the angels give to God in heaven. And that's what that phrase implies and teaches
to us.
So in many ways, they're an example to us. They adore God, they praise God, they worship God, they do His will, they work for God, they execute His will. Well, so we're supposed to do the same thing on earth. So when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth," we're praying that we will have that kind of praise and that kind of adoration and that kind of obedience and that kind of dedication. So while we might rapidly go over that phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," for us, there's a great implication. There's a responsibility there for us to follow their example. See, they leave us, they have left us an example. This is what they do. And we need to follow their example. Obedience, dedication, praise. It's a great example. This morning you might want to become a part of that great company of those who look forward to having a home in heaven. And this morning, if you need to come and experience that wonderful gift of remission of sins by having your sins washed away in baptism, or you need to come and ask for forgiveness, for strength, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.